All right, we are live here with a Schloss Rant from the Philadelphia suburbs. It is Tuesday night. The week number 12 is a wrap in the National Football League. I got a number of topics I want to talk about around the National Football League. But first one, the last episode, Schloss Rant number 55, I got to apologize to you all because I recorded on a Saturday night, okay? And I do these pretty much every Saturday night, and sometimes we have some guests on here. Most of the time we don't, though. But if there is ever a doubt in the world that I cannot survive even one day without coffee, I was proven wrong. I recorded at 9:30 at night. I could barely talk. I had a headache. I lost my voice about 7 minutes into the podcast, and I nearly coughed up a freaking lung. I had snot dripping out of my nose, all because I went one day without coffee. One day. Never mind the fact that I had two diet ginger ales and a diet Coke while watching college football throughout the day and bouncing around doing errands. I need that Trader Joe's cold brew concentrate to make my 20 ounces in the mug, or the to-go mug, with a splash. And I mean a splash of that 1% milk. You wouldn't even know that it's in there. Along with my two Stevie in the worst way. This is, of course, only after I have my hot cup of black coffee while I work out in the morning. And I get that coffee right from the coffee machine, which happened to be out of order that day. So I skipped that cup. I said, oh, let's try to skip the rest of the day. And it made it impossible to record a podcast. Gave you, quite frankly, 17 minutes of just not good work at all. Not even whatsoever. And I drink that hot cup of black coffee because I pass it as I go to work out in my building. Yes, I live in a pretty darn bougie building here in the suburbs of Philadelphia. All right, now, the good news after that disgrace of a podcast performance. The picks we gave out, they go 3-2. Only am I crazy enough to pick the Panthers when they had a head coach who was on the hot seat, and we knew he was on the hot seat. I didn't think he'd get fired right away, and we'll give you more on that later. And then we get the Vikings lose 12-10 because Joshua Dobbs forgets what team he's on and starts to throw four interceptions to the Bears because he's been on so many different teams in the past 12, 13 months, whatever it is. But, I mean, you know, the Vikings, they weren't the best pick, obviously, but they did have the ball up 10-9. They were laying the 3 points. If they get a field goal there, maybe things go the other way, and maybe they cover him. All right, honestly, when I looked at that game, looked at the spread, and I said, with Josh Dobbs, they're still favored, even though Fields is back in the lineup, and he's been playing pretty well since he's been back, or at least this game he looked decent enough. I know they didn't score any touchdowns, but I knew that the Bears hadn't covered two straight since 2021. I knew that Fields was bad as a dog, but we still lose the game. I mean, picking these winners against the number where they're making these lines as razor sharp as possible, you know, it's what's going to happen. So, you know, we win, the Jags laying the 1.5. They win by 3. We get the Chiefs. Despite their slow start, they win by 11. They were laying 8.5 when I gave it out. Might have been up to 9 when you logged onto your apps there. And we gave out the Rams. They were laying 2.5, and they won by 23. So we're sitting here through the 12 weeks. We're at 40, 18, and 2. Might have to double-check that math, but 40, yeah, 40, 18, and 2. There we go. Double-check the math there because we were at 37, 17, and we went – or 37-16, I should say, and we go 3-2 this week. So 40-18-2 through the 12 weeks, good for about 68.96% of my calculators correct. So not the best week, but again, when you've had the 5-0 weeks that I've had, and there haven't been many, but there's been one, when you have the 4-0 weeks to 4-1 weeks, you can go 3-2, and you're still doing well. I'd have to check where we are compared to people in that Circa contest in the desert, the Circa Millions contest. But you can do pretty well by going 3-2. Nothing bad has ever happened when you pick 3 out of 5 games correct in the National Football League against the number. And I say this because I had someone in my DMs on Twitter saying, oh, you gave out the Chiefs laying the 8.5. Big deal. Anyone can do this. They were obviously upset with me after the Vikings failed to win the game and failed to cover the 3 points. So my advice to that person, and I don't DM them back, but my advice to them is go start your own podcast. Pour hours into the picks. All, by the way, not getting paid a dime for these picks that are sitting at almost 70%, 68.96%. Go pour hours of your own time into this. Analyze the games and the stats. Come up with betting trends about bad quarterbacks versus other bad quarterbacks and which one you should back. I mean, I get it. Anyone can give out the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, but how many times has he not covered? He's not always the best quarterback against the number. Everyone knows that. I don't have it in front of me, but everyone knows that he doesn't always cover. Yes, they covered a big spread against the Bears earlier in the year. And I know I messed up last night with Joshua Dobbs because they stunk. But again, they were up 10-9 with the ball. They could have covered the three. How many times on this podcast have I given out the Arizona Cardinals lay or getting points? Week one, they were getting 7 against the Commanders with Sam Howell. I said, go lay the 7 or go take the 7 points, I should say. I took Tampa Bay in week one, getting 5.5 against Minnesota. I mean, I'm just looking through this notebook right now. Week two, we took Falcons getting the 2 points. We took Seattle getting 5.5 at Detroit. Detroit, I know they lost this week. They're a pretty good team. As we continue to flip through the notebook, week three, we didn't give out any dogs. We went 4-1 that week. Excuse me. I'm sorry, I picked all favorites, and it wasn't good enough. Week four, yeah, no dogs either. But week five, okay, week five, we gave out the Steelers getting 4.5 at the Ravens. We hit the Jaguars, the sharpest play of the year, in my opinion, getting the 5.5 against the Bills. We even gave the Giants getting 15 points in week six when the Bills looked like a juggernaut coming off that big win against the Dolphins. Or big win was 2 weeks ago against the Dolphins after the Bills were in a get-right spot after losing there. All right? So don't give me this. I mean, how many times have I taken the Cardinals? Like I said, last week I said take them getting the 6 against the Texans. I'm not going to continue to flip through this notebook to find times where we've taken points. And I'm not going to go around, you know, because I hit Seattle getting a point a couple of weeks ago. But you get the idea. I even took the Chicago Bears getting 3 points against the Las Vegas Raiders when the Bears were starting an undrafted Division II quarterback. I did that. So don't tell me anyone can do this. I put research into this. I find the trends where, oh, do you really want to lay points with this guy? Is this guy good enough? A la week one with Sam Howell as a 7-point favorite against the Arizona Cardinals. So I put my research into this. I find trends. I look for bad defenses, bad quarterbacks to give you all opportunities, and I don't charge a dime for it. Not even one dime. And we're hitting almost 70%. So yeah, I picked the Chiefs laying 8.5. So what? They won the game. Get over it. All right, now let's talk about the New York Football Giants. The Giants have won 2 games straight here as they've beaten, you know, kind of the bottom feeders of the NFL and the Commanders, who another team will probably fire their coach soon. They beat the Commanders 2 weeks ago. They beat the Patriots, obviously, this week in a game that was 10-7. But, you know, it was kind of an old school, barn bruiser. Teams got together. They were physical. It was cold and rainy up here in the Northeast between Jersey and outside of Philadelphia where I am right now. And I got to be honest, I wanted the Giants to tank 2 weeks ago. At this point, though, I want to win out. I want to make the playoffs. I might be crazy here, but you know what? When you're a fan of a team, and I go back with the Giants since the mid to early to mid-90s, I don't quite remember LT, but I remember the other Duke quarterback, Dave Brown. I remember Danny Cannell. Cannell was definitely my favorite Giants quarterback for a while until Kerry Collins got there, and then obviously with Eli. And even if they don't win out, because they're probably not going to, but I'd be happy going 8-9 because to me, that shows me that Daboll can coach, shows me he's got control of his locker room. And if you're still talking about picking a quarterback, how about Joe Shane does what Howie Roseman, the GM of the Eagles, did and find his franchise guy in the second round? Can you do that, Joe Shane? We understand you came in last year, you took a bottom feeder, a doormat of the NFL, and you took him to the playoffs, and your team won a game with Daboll leading the charge as the head coach. But go do what Howie Roseman does. Go find a second-round quarterback. Go find him. Turn him into a star. If Daboll can coach up DeVito to looking like, you know, a competent quarterback at times outside of the sacks, then maybe you can get a guy in the second round. Not an undrafted guy, but a guy in the second round and turn him into something. So that's what I would do because obviously they're not going to be in the position for May. They're not going to be in the position for Caleb Williams or even, you know, maybe Daniels from LSU, the former Arizona State quarterback, maybe he falls down. But again, the coaching job that Daboll's done with DeVito, per Stathead, he's one of only 9 quarterbacks since the NFL-AFL merger to throw 6 touchdown passes in his first 3 starts within his first NFL season. That's not bad. And this guy's undrafted. Going along with guys like Todd Bowman, I think he played for the Vikings, Case Keenum. So overall, what Daboll's doing with DeVito, minimizing the mistakes, they've won 2 games in a row. And this team, they're too good to lose all the games in a row. I understand you start off at 2-8. They're not going to lose 7 straight games. I mean, we all wanted it. I want the franchise quarterback more than anyone. I said that should have been the plan. I figured putting in DeVito, it would ensure that this would happen. But you've got guys like Dexter Lawrence. You've got guys like Kayvon Thibodeau. These are all pro players. Forget about Pro Bowl. These are, you know, first, second, third team, all pro type players. If Thibodeau finishes with 15, 16 sacks, this is a guy people were calling a bust. This team has talent. You still have Saquon Barkley there. I understand they're not a good team. They're 4-8. They're a bad team. There's still guys on here who are all pro level type players. If Thomas comes back, you know, that's another guy. I put him in my top 5 overall players in the league. Obviously, that was not a bad pick, or was not a good pick by me. Guy can't stay healthy, but they have talent on the team. Realistically, going forward, for them to see if they can get to 9 wins and sneak in the playoffs, not going to happen, but maybe. But realistically, they have some winnable games left. You don't think they can beat the Packers? Jordan Love's been up and down. He's been more up recently. But you don't think they can beat the Packers at home on a long, long rest because you get to come back Monday Night Football? The Saints, I mean, the Saints have been unpredictable all year. They win some, they lose some. Who knows with them? They're at the Saints. They're at Philly. I mean, that one's going to be a loss because Philly will still be playing for something. They're home for the Rams. I mean, the Rams are 5-6. They're not that much better than the Giants. And they're home for the Eagles, and the Eagles could be resting people. So if you can have a miracle and beat the Eagles and win the rest of those games, you get to 9-8. It's not going to happen, but we can talk ourselves into it for fun. Why not? If not, again, 8-9 is not a good record. It's not the worst record. And it shows me that even when you start 2-8, Daboll, you can still keep the team together with a third-string quarterback and win some games. The beginning of the season was brutal for the Giants. You had the Cowboys. You had Buffalo. You had Miami. These were teams like Buffalo, you know, these were teams that were rolling at the time. Maybe not necessarily Buffalo, but Josh Allen is much better than anything the Giants were throwing out there. So, I mean, the schedule did not do them any favors. You played the 49ers, too, on a short week when you had to stay out on the West Coast. Schedule maker screwed over this team with all the hard games early. It is what it is. You play who's there, and you play when you're supposed to. But, hey, Daboll, show me you can keep the team together. All right, I want to talk about the local team here, the Philadelphia Eagles. And I got to talk about 2 things really in that game, and then I'm going to talk about the Eagles as a whole. Number one, that roughing the passer call on Josh Allen in overtime, or I don't remember if it was in overtime, but it can't happen. Yeah, it was in overtime, but then they settled for the field goal. That can't happen. I can't have these refs making a significant impact in the game. Josh Allen is 6'5", 230, 240 pounds. All right? He's in the pocket. I'm sorry if the guy hits him 1 second late. I know I don't like the Eagles. I know I am not a fan of them under any circumstances. But I'm a bigger fan of having the game be played where the refs do not step in and make something happen that shouldn't happen vis-a-vis a 15-yard roughing the passer play. One that should have been called. Again, with Josh Allen, here's the theme. That missed horse collar tackle, or I should say horse collar tackle, on Hassan Reddick. That's the next miscue where the refs messed up. I think the ref was Hockley, and there's a still image of him staring right at that play. That can't happen either. The Bills there missed a field goal on that drive because it turns into an intentional grounding penalty because he's being horse collared and it's not called, and the only way he can get rid of the ball is kind of like a somersault and a throw, and you know only Josh Allen could even throw that away, even though it was an intentional grounding. And again, I don't have a dog in the fight in this game. You listen to the pod. You know what games I pick. I didn't pick the Eagles-Bills game. But I can't have these calls be affected in the game. I understand the NFL is in a position where they want to protect the quarterback, and that's why they called the roughing the passer there in overtime. But then by that stretch, how do you mess up the call with Hassan Reddick there? So it doesn't make sense. And you could say it evens out over time. I get that. But if your narrative that you push, and you pushed it for a long time, probably for the last 25 years or so, NFL, you have to make sure that these quarterbacks are protected, and you can't have any horse collars missed when the ref is staring right at it. There's a still shot. Go find it. It's out there. All right, the next thing. A.J. Brown, that catch in overtime on the Eagles' game-winning drive. Or it wasn't a catch, I should say. It was ruled an incomplete pass. I thought it was a catch when I was watching it live. I don't know what a catch is anymore. Even Tony Romo was jumping around saying that this game is over. He was, you know, going crazy up there in the booth. To me, it looked like he took a few steps with the ball. I can't have this again where I believe it was the season the Eagles won the Super Bowl where he's got to survive the ground, make a football move. I don't know what a catch is. And if I don't know what a catch is, other people out there don't know what a catch is. And we can't do this. I can't do this with the reviews. I can't do this with not knowing what a catch is when we're talking about playing football. So something's got to be done there. I thought that was a catch. I mean, it looked like he took a couple steps, then he got hit, then the ball came out. So I gave three things about the games, really about the officiating. This Eagle team, though, and this pains me to say as a Giants fan, this is the most likable team in football, even if, you know, if it's not your team. Definitely if it's your team, if you're an Eagle fan. But, you know, this should be a team that a lot of people like. And the reason why is this is exactly how I'd make up a team. Smash mouth at the core, but they can throw the ball when they need to, and they can make plays in the passing game. They got stud receivers with Brown, Smith, and I know I'm not saying anything that anyone doesn't know out there, but this is how I'd build the team. You got a guy in the draft in Smith. You trade for A.J. Brown. I said this time after time, Shane should have went out there and traded for A.J. Brown. He was right there for the taking. And you have a kicker, even from the kicking standpoint. Guy's clutch. That was a 59-yard kick. Not 39, not 49, 59 yards. Those conditions were awful. It was raining from anywhere from New York to New Jersey to Philadelphia to outside of Philadelphia where I am. Raining all over the place. I didn't even want to take my dogs out. Sammy, Mello, they didn't want to go out with me. It was raining. I had to pick them up and carry them, put them under cover in the courtyard of the building here, make sure they had somewhere to go to the bathroom. So that's a tough kick there. Jalen Hurts, he is an assassin. 210 yards accounted for with four touchdowns accounted for in that second half, while Josh Allen had 161 yards and a touchdown with a pick. Listen, one guy is 6'1", one guy is 6'5". Allen, obviously 6'5", Hurts 6'1". And it isn't as obvious on the surface, but Jalen Hurts is every bit that dude. He is him. Hurts and this Eagles team, they've won 14 straight against teams with winning record outside of the Super Bowl loss to Kansas City. So that, of course, in the regular season. This team is 27-2 when Hurts starts since week 15 of 2021. They made that late push to sneak in the playoffs when they lost to Tampa in 2021. So Hurts is, you know, he's a guy who at the podium, he says the right things. Elliott hits that field goal. He's not jumping around on the sidelines celebrating. He's focused in laser about what he's got to do next. Think Jay Wright for Villanova on the sidelines, the coach of the Villanova basketball team 2016, when Chris Jenkins hits that three off the kick out or off the hand, the dribble handoff from Ryan Archie Diacono, who's with the Knicks, obviously. You know, he's just like, oh, what do we got to do next? He didn't even realize that the game was over. That's what Hurts was like. He's like, all right, kicker did his job. Time for me to go do my job. He's not celebrating. He's not smiling. He's ready to go. And I understand with Hurts, you look at the numbers. They're not overly impressive on the surface. 18 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. You know, they say he's a mobile quarterback, 3.6 yards per carry. But remember, with the running especially, how many of those carries are for 1 yard when it's third and one or fourth and one to continue the drive? Or it's third and goal, fourth and goal from the one, and they're running the brotherly shove, the tush push, tushy pushy, whatever you want to call it. They're running that play where really you only need 1 yard. So you can kind of throw that number out of the 3.6 yards per carry. You can throw it out of the window, throw it out of the equation here. So, I mean, just he's impressive. He's completing 67% of his passes. And if it's late in game, is there anyone else you want on the field? Any other guy you want quarterback in the team? Maybe Mahomes. Burrow, yeah, maybe. Josh Allen, I mean, he's stupendous. The Bills rely on him to do everything. I'm surprised he doesn't line up and rush the passer and play defensive end because Von Miller, that dude's just a shell of himself at 34, 35 years old. I'm surprised. Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if McDermott put in Josh Allen and said, hey, Josh, go rush the quarterback. We need some help here. You're 6'5", 250. Good. Can you do it? So, yeah, Hurts is probably who I would take right now. Might be Mahomes next week, but for Hurts right now, we live kind of prisoner of the moment. All right, that's enough of me kissing up to the Eagles. I've said this about Eagle fans. You guys aren't quite as tough as you think you are. You're not as intense as you think you are. When the Giants are cooking and the Giants are rolling, we're just as intense, all right? But we're not going to throw snowballs at Santa. That's the difference between me and you. But you got yourself a heck of a team. So I think it kind of irks me because there's a show I listen to, and I've talked about them before, the Morning Men on Mad Dog Radio, Channel 82, where there's this one Eagle fan who actually lives on Long Island, where I'm from, and he calls up, and every win, the guy's more upset than the next. I'm just like, you're 11-1. Like, just give it a break. Or 10-1. Give it a break. Like, I understand you're not quite as efficient as last year. You're not blowing out teams by 30 points, but you're coming back from double digits seemingly every week, and your guys are as clutch as can be from the quarterback to the kicker to even Jason Kelce making a block on Hurts' winning touchdown. You could talk about Kelce and Swift all you want, Travis, that is, and Taylor. But that block Jason Kelce made, and I know it was on a defensive back, that's a primo block. Smacked him right into the turf. So, yeah, that's toughness. The Philly fan, not as much. They're not as tough as they think they are. All right, now, let's shift topic away from the Eagles because I'm going to throw up with how much nice things I've said about them. All true, which just goes to show you I analyze these games and I do it honestly. I do. I mean, I've killed the Giants before, left and right. I've killed the Yankees left and right. Teams that I love, teams I've rooted for since I'm 5 or 6 years old. So, next thing. Arizona basketball, they're ranked number 2. All right, provided they can beat Colgate and Wisconsin, which is no lock. But we're headed for, on December 16th, a couple of Saturdays from now, we're headed for a matchup between number 1 Purdue and Zach Edey and the player of the year from last year and my Arizona Wildcat basketball team. And Purdue right now, as we record, they're up 37-28 against Texas Southern. So provided Purdue before then, they've got to beat Northwestern, nothing. Iowa shouldn't be too much of a challenge. And currently 23rd Alabama. So provided they can win all those, let's just stick with that for a second. Provided they can win all those games, you know, we got a number 1 versus number 2 showdown, which is great in the regular season. Here's the problem, and I'm going to be real upset if this is the case. I heard somewhere today that the game is going to be on Peacock, the streaming service. You got to be kidding me. I'm a streamer, okay? I got YouTube TV. I got that Sunday ticket. I put 4 games while streaming, whether it's college football, which I've gotten into a lot more this year, or the NFL on Sundays. I put it right up there streaming, no problem. I don't have Peacock anymore. Why? Because I don't have Xfinity cable because I switched to the YouTube TV for the Sunday NFL ticket. Switched to it. Gave up the physical remote and cable box. So now, and Peacock's owned under the same umbrella as Xfinity. So now I got to go in, I got to resubscribe for something that I used to have, get the login sorted, get the password sorted, make sure the Wi-Fi works, make sure nothing goes wrong with my Amazon Fire Stick TV because I had something go wrong with it last week where the size was all off and it was too zoomed in and every solution under the sun didn't work other than, I don't know, plugging it in and plugging it back out a couple of times. So, yeah, I can't have that. If it's going to be number 1 versus number 2, put it on a channel I can watch. Fox Sports 1, ESPN, ESPN 2, whatever it is. I got to be able to see that game. And no, I can't go watch it somewhere because if I mention Arizona basketball to someone here outside of Philadelphia, they wouldn't know Arizona basketball from the Grand Canyon. They'd say, what is this, a Nat Geo episode? Talking about antelopes and all types of animals in the Grand Canyon? So no, I'm going to be real upset. But will I watch it? Will I subscribe to it? Yeah, of course, I got it. It's Arizona basketball, number 2 team in the country. Bear down. All right, and finally, to circle back on something with the Panthers and Frank Reich. I know we're jumping back into the NFL here. You got to be kidding me, David Tepper. I understand you're multi-billionaire, whatever. Okay, amazing. impressive, no doubt. But you can't be firing guys after 11 games. This just goes to show the dysfunction if you're firing this guy after 11 games. And I know there's chatter about, oh, Bryce Young can't play. He's not as good as C.J. Stroud. But you're the guy who brought him in. Who's going to want to come work for you? Matt Rhule, out. Frank Reich now out. You're paying both these guys. Clearly he'll pay for whatever, give you 7-year contracts. But Frank Reich is never going to coach again in the NFL. He's been fired in back-to-back seasons. What owner is going to sell that to their fan base? GM is going to sell that to the fan base? None. So, yeah, I mean, these guys that make it to be head coaches in the National Football League, they want to keep being head coaches. Not that they don't like probably calling plays from an offensive or defensive standpoint. Not that they would hate being down in the college ranks. But the NFL is where it's at. That's where they want to be, and they want to be head coaches. And it's not like Reich's been bad. He took Phillip Rivers to the playoffs in 2020 when he was hanging on by a thread with the Colts. 2021, they had a competitive team. They missed out on the playoffs by one game. He's not a bad coach by any stretch. I don't know why they gave up on him this early into the process. Doesn't make any sense. I know I'm not saying anything that anyone doesn't know. But football, it's not as easy as private equity. You can't just say, I'm going to make the smartest investments out there because I'm the smartest guy out there and I've got the most backing behind me. NFL, there's a salary cap. NFL, you need the quarterback to be right. You need to have competent defensive players. You need to have players under control for the cheap. There's rules that everyone else is playing by. Can't just be the smartest guy coming in with the most money possible that can private equity. So that's that. Sloss Rant live, Philadelphia suburbs, all over the place here. But mainly, stay out of my DMs complaining about the picks. We're hitting at almost 70%. 40, 18, and 2 through 12 weeks. There's no one else out there documenting these picks publicly. So leave me alone if you're upset with the picks that I'm giving out because anyone can go with the Chiefs minus 8.5. Get out of here. So, all right. We'll see what the Giants do in a couple weeks. They got a bye week. We'll be back probably Saturday night to give out the picks. Sloss Rant live, Philadelphia suburbs. We'll see you later, everyone.